ஆனந்த திருப்பதி. I'll start by saying a few words in relation to what happened in after our last meeting, so that we can clarify some of the issues before we engage in our debate. This is a meeting of the Portfolio Commission and Commission. As per schedule of Parliament, last meeting we met as a committee to discuss the program of our committee. So that it can be okayed by the House Chair. And from the meeting I had a lot of calls from media that say the committee decided on some issues. That was even before I issued a statement or communicated with media, and that was done by a DA. And I think it must be very clear that after the meeting of the Communications Portfolio Committee, speaking on behalf of the committee, chairperson of the committee, not another person. So from now on, we must deal with that, Honorable Sandam, because I was told it's you, speaking on behalf of the portfolio committee. I did clarify the issues with media. And I think the very interesting question from media was in your statement that you have decided to investigate or to put an inquiry for SABC. In discussing the program, we look at issues that are in the program, agree with them, send them to the to Parliament. The requests that we are making are in the minutes of our meeting. And I think we're very clear that the proposal and discussions that we'll have to request more time from the House Chair to deal with the issues of SABC and the entities of the department. Because we're worried about the 3 hours that we have from now to 1 o'clock. And we're saying, as any other committee staff, give us more time so that we deal with matters. The idea of for the proposal of the inquiry indeed came from DA. And then we're very clear in the committee that yes, it's in the rules. The committee is supposed to do that. It's in the rules of Parliament. But only in the third, which is today, we're meeting the department to listen to what they say about all these issues of SABC and the past. We'll go to the minutes. I'm not discussing minutes, I'm just opening the meeting. And And the inquiry, as I explained in media, yes, it's reflected in the rules that we are supposed to request from the House Chair, like we did with the days, more days of the committee. So I just want us to be very clear as to what we communicate, what is the decision of the meeting, and what is raised in the meeting, and not necessarily decided. Members will deal with the opening remarks. I don't know if we need that. Because I was raising it, what you said, Honorable Fanam, I see you want to respond. And I don't know, committee members, if you want to engage in the opening remarks, because this matter is in the minutes. This matter is in the minutes, we are going to deal with it in the minutes.
Sorry, Chairperson, you've raised some points about me, and I feel I have the right, that yes, me, the DA, I'm from the DA, but I feel I need to correct. And I do not think we cannot move on from this point. You've raised the points that I'd like to clarify from my side too.
Yes.
Number one, I do not speak on behalf of the committee, correct? I do not speak on behalf of the committee. I spoke on behalf of the Democratic Alliance. I came and offered the inquiry, and then I reported back to the media and the constituents about that request. I'm a little bit disappointed that there appears to be backtracking from what we agreed upon. We agreed at the committee that an inquiry was necessary. I went back and I listened to the minutes of, listened to the recording of that committee, because I knew there were going to be, people saying, oh, no, we didn't agree. We absolutely agreed. To quote you, Chair, you said, I am agreeing with the SABC matters. There are matters that have been with the SABC from the first election campaign, and many things have happened. We need to deal with them beyond Tuesday, and I think that there is agreement that there needs to be an inquiry. From that point, you then said you're going to consult with the Chair of Chairs, which I agree to. The Chair of Chairs does not have to approve the content of the meeting. We as a committee agreed, as you accurately said. It's only up to the Chair of Committee to then talk to us about issues of scheduling. But we also discussed as a committee that maybe we should push back the APB hearings and move the time and scope for the inquiry. So I'm really disappointed that there appears to be backtracking on the inquiry, which is absolutely necessary. There's utter chaos at SABC, and we'll be failing really in our constitutional duty if we deal with this issue only in the 4 hours that we have and do not take it beyond that.
Well, when we discuss SABC the issue of exploring after we have listened is different from deciding with an inquiry. Exploring what you have said with the House Chair. So I think let's agree that we don't agree on this one, and we proceed.
The committee agreed that the inquiry is necessary. If we're going to ask that we don't agree an inquiry is to happen, then we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But we absolutely all agreed.
Honorable Kalara?
Chair, thank you, Chair. If I remember well our deliberations, and especially if I remember what I said in the discussions, I said inquiries, I think it was after inquiries do commit to them that right according to rules to do inquiries. And we said, I said to the SABC, we even, of course, even the committee does investigations. We have done that previously. But I said, Chair, where I think we agreed around was the SABC is coming to us. We cannot jump to an inquiry. Everybody is concerned about the reports on media about SABC. We cannot jump and set an inquiry based on the reports. These entities are here to report to us. We can call the SABC or whatever entity involved, we deliberate them on the issues which are in the public domain. And if need be, after those deliberations, then we can decide and call on an inquiry. I even said that process will have to go to the chairs of chair, so that the parliamentary process will follow all the procedures in that inquiry. When we institute an inquiry, they will help us how to, because they have all the needs. So that was not, to my understanding, a decision saying we must institute inquiry. It was, if needs be, after meeting with SABC, we will take this process. So that was my understanding of the discussions that well, it's true that nobody said, well, if there's a need for inquiry, it must not be. It's our case, but we follow the due process and the process itself.
It can be explored after we have listened to SABC. Honorable Honor?
You, sir, are also backtracking. That's why I went to a recording and I wrote down exactly what everyone said, because I knew there was going to be a backtracking. You, sir, said, I'm going to quote what you said. Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, I don't know which issue you are dealing with before you, but I think the SABC requires special attention. I do not think this is a matter we can do in just a day. We need to do thorough work when we deal with the SABC so we are clear on issues. As she is saying, Kumzile, some of these things come from a long time ago. We need to move with them and close them completely. So between the management, the staff, if you are able to fit into the program and inquiry, please do so. You did not say we need to listen to the department first and then decide on inquiry. You fully supported the need for inquiry. Why are you guys backtracking?
Can you step off this matter? Can you step off this matter, because we don't have the same understanding of the issues. It can be from the chair or Honorable Kalago, as we have contributed, but we don't understand the same way as the yes.
I'm not the only one who understood it that way. Journalists were in this meeting too, understood it as a committee agreeing on an inquiry. Before we move on, can I have clarity then about what it is the ANC members of the committee would like to do about the inquiry? Can I have clear clarity? Because it is on record. It is on record in this. It is on record verbatim of what the member of this committee said. So can we be clear about where we stand on the inquiry?
Today we are listening to SHC, Honorable Van Damme. You don't know what they are going to say. I don't know what they are going to say. Let us wait until we hear what they are going to say to us. I don't know what you want from members of this committee to say before listening to the department. Because this thing of SABC is if they are not let. Before listening to the department, then you members can say anything they want to say. Can you proceed? Thank you very much. Can we now go to the apologies? Members, we have two apologies from EFF, Honorable Jose, and from Ndongeni, ANC. Honorable Ndongeni is attending another meeting, telecoms, and there was no specifics on Honorable Jose's apology. He will now proceed to hand over to the minister to brief us on matters, and I think we have a presentation from SABC, and then the minister will talk around those issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members. The leadership of the group is led by the acting Director General. The leadership of the SABC. We are here, Honorable Members. But what I want to say up front is that South Africa is going through a process of profound social transformation. And then the question that we have today is, how does the SABC balance the provision of information, education, entertainment with the upholding of the moral fiber of the society? The broader debate that the country and society should have is what kind of a society do we want to see reflected in our small screens. We are saying this because the SABC is legislated and therefore is expected to contribute to democracy, development of society, gender equality, nation building and provision of education, and strengthening the spiritual fiber of this society that we live. These demands by the Broadcasting Act also include the development of local programming content, which is part of the government's overall policy in the creative industry, which we call Mzansi Golden. I've noted with interest the media headlines, which have driven a narrative that ourselves as a ministry should have intervened in the affairs of the SABC. There's been a group of people, some of them who have worked in the past at the SABC, calling for the minister to intervene. They are today acting as though the operation of the SABC were not mad with challenges when they were at the helm of the SABC. The truth is that some of the former SABC executives actually presided over the SABC, which covered government challenges that we are raising today, dates back from their tenure when they were there at the SABC. Just last night, Chairperson, we were informed of the petition by Right to Know campaigns to our offices in Pretoria, and some that will be protesting outside Parliament this morning. It is interesting to note that when the mainstream print media took a negative posture on their coverage of government, none of these NGOs marched to print media buildings to demand that daily affair and just coverage of South African stories. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, what of the constitutional obligation that is placed upon any minister is encouraging public participation in all sectors of society in any matter that affects the portfolio of a particular minister. It is, however, uncharacteristic to receive a letter as we received from the former SABC executive, which simultaneously sent a leak, friend or leak to the media at the same time. We are not saying that people do not have the constitutional rights to write to the ministry or the rights of the ministers. We are not surprised at the failure, at least to understand this protocol involved when we intend to be taken seriously. Every person in their own organization has a right to a peaceful process as guaranteed by Section 17 of the Constitution, all the rights to assembly, demonstration, petition, and the like. I want to also report to the committee that on the 19th of July, I received a petition from the DA with a lot of demands from the Democratic Alliance. Contrary to a party that claims to know and understand the procedure in such matters, we were shocked that the memorandum petition and correspondence did not include the date, timeline, and grace period to which the department is expected to respond. Nevertheless, we proceeded to respond to the DA within 7 days of the seat. It is also true that the procedures followed by the DA was flawed as the petition to institute to Parliament are directed to the Speaker of the National Assembly, who appoints Speaker of the Council of Petition, refers the petition to the Portfolio Committee responsible, instead of petitioning me as the minister as the judge. Lastly, we do believe that the DA's memorandum achieved what the DA was a party stood for. Protection of white interests in this case, protection of white journalists as the SABC. Chairperson, allow me to quote first what is in this memorandum that I'm using at my disposal. It is, we support only the four of the suspended journalists, and they name them by name, Jairus Dien, Kam, Fruta, Krujie, Dina Sender, and Kilvan Pillay. I want to raise this honorable chairman and member to say the change from the progressive and exploitative colonization apartheid and apartheid epochs into a new era of dominance in South Africa was elevated in law by the adoption of the Constitution, in which then my colleagues from the anomaly French and then interpret it selectively as if other people don't have rights. The Constitution contains key fundamental constitutional rights and obligations by all. You will all agree with me, honorable member, that the adoption of the Constitution created a new sense of hope and belief in the country's citizens, which was welcomed with a lot of expectation. In this regard, all institutions in the country that had been exclusive for the majority were expected to increase the inclusivity of a diverse country in all spheres of life, it either namely politically, socially, and economically. However, honorable chairperson, it is very interesting to note today that this petition, the right to know, on the eve of the DOC's Transmedia Transformation Collegium, which is meant to distract the attention and the focus of this department. On the contrary, chairperson, matters surrounding the SABC, which will be dealt with by Parliament and SABC's authority, will be subjected to the Committee's instruction to brief it in terms of Section 55 of the Constitution and the National Assembly rules. We therefore find the planned petition seems suspicious in that the matter is in opposition to the department which has received the attention of the Parliament. Honorable House Chairperson and honorable members, it is on this note that we have since returned to the office inviting members of the Parliament, particularly those serving in this committee, to be part of the collegium. Then we want to deal with the issues that we said we need to deal with. Number one, the SABC News editorial policy. The debate regarding the matter relating to the SABC must be debated within the context of the law that governs the affairs of the corporation. The affairs of the SABC are governed by the Broadcasting Act, as amended, particularly Section 6 of the Act. This section provides for the charter of the corporation that the corporation must comply with. The SABC is required in terms of the Broadcasting Act to develop the news and editorial policies. It also makes provisions for the SABC to ensure that there is public participation in the development of such policy by inviting and considering public comments on such draft policies and by other means. This provision, as required by Section 5A of the Broadcasting Act, was complied with by the SABC to ensure compliance with the SABC license condition in relation to the news editorial policy. To this end, a process of public consultation was undertaken as part of the initial review process in 2013 and early 2014. In the preparation of the policy, the board ensured that there was sufficient public participation and public input in the development of the policy in line with Section 6 and 7 of the Act as part of the SABC's continued role to uphold the letter of law. Stakeholder engagements were held with more than 30 organizations and interest groups from across the country, and this was followed by 17 public hearings, where each province hosted at least one. Almost 2,000 people attended these hearings. Public consultation were advertised on the SABC platforms and in selected media, and the SABC received 216 written submissions from individuals and organizations. In addition to the proposed amendments to the editorial policy, it was also translated into all 11 official languages and placed on the website of the SABC, which is public knowledge. The policy was approved by the Board of Directors of the SABC for implementation by management. As required by Section 5B of the Broadcasting Act, the Independent Communication Authority of South Africa was notified in writing on the amended policy. Stakeholders, including political parties, groups such as SOS and others, were all afforded the opportunity to comment on the proposed amendments to the editorial policy. What we witnessed pre-election was an undue pressure on the part of certain sections of the society to force changes to the already approved policy, and we believe if allowed, it was going to erode and influence the integrity independence of the SABC. Honorable Chairperson, the Corporation is encouraged to ensure development of the South African freedom of expression by providing in South Africa, by providing in South African official languages a wide range of programming that reflects South African attitudes, opinions, ideas, values, and artistic creativity. That also displays South African talent in education and entertainment, offers plurality of views and variety of news information and analysis from South African point of view, and advances the national and public interest. In line with its public broadcasting service mandate, which is to inform, educate, and entertain, the corporation has a role to ensure that it contributes towards nation building and social cohesion in the Republic. At this point, we need to distinguish between the editorial policy and editorial vision in different areas, including SABC. The editorial decision, not editorial policy, is in our view also in line with Section 16 of the Constitution on the limitations of freedom of expression. Section 16(2)(8)(c) stipulates that freedom of expression does not extend to propaganda or incitement of imminent violence or advocacy of hatred that is based on race, ethnicity, gender or religion, and that constitutes incitement to cause harm. In the same thing, the Broadcasting Act of Section 2A compels that the SABC must establish and develop a broadcasting policy to contribute to democracy, development of society, gender equality, nation building, provision of education, and strengthening the spiritual and moral fiber of society. In addition, Section 2R, there are requirements for the SABC to develop local programming content. The main complaint by MMA. The main complaint against the SABC by the media and monitor in Africa appeared to be the broadcaster's decision to stop coverage of violent protests, in which the complaint alleged that this was in breach of the provision of the Broadcasting Act as well as the licensing conditions. In the light of the actual CCC and CASA judgment, we don't think that the SABC may have erred in its decision. However, rephrasing its decision will have swayed the CCC. The judgment noted that the following. In print media South Africa, after reviewing various authorities, the Constitutional Court held that the case law recognizes that an effective ban or a restriction on publication by court order even before it has seen the light of the day is something to be approached with circumspection and should be permitted in narrow circumstances only. Closed. The CCC judgment acknowledged that the SABC has the power to limit visual material in appropriate circumstances where it amounts to the contravention of the Broadcasting Public Commission of South Africa's code, or at the time of election where the material is in conflict with section of the Electronic Communication Act which deals with elections. However, it has no authority in law to ban an entire category of material in advance. The Broadcasting Code, on the other hand, does indeed place certain limits on the screening of violence, but that code may only be applied when a complaint is lodged with the relevant authority, be that the BCCSA or the CCC, and after a broadcast that is clear from Section 53(2) of the Electronic Communications Act. Furthermore, the Broadcasting Code is clear as to the broadcast of violence. It does not prohibit mere broadcasting of violence, but it depends on the manner in which the broadcast it is broadcasted. Clause 11, the news clause provides as follows, I quote, broadcasting services licensees must advise viewers in advance the scenes or reporting of extraordinary violence or graphic reporting on delicate subject matter such as sexual assault or court action related to sexual crime, particularly during afternoon or early evening news clusters and updates. And broadcasting service licenses must not include explicit or graphic language related to news of destruction, accident or sexual violence which could disturb children or sensitive audiences. except where it is in the public interest to include such material. In addition, clause 3 of the code, which is applicable in the main to material other than news, provides that broadcasting services licensees must not broadcast material which judge within context contains violence which does not play an integral role in developing the plot, character or theme of the material as a whole, or sanctions, promotes or glamorizes violence or unlawful conduct. This was the argument made by the IEEC in their judgment of the editorial decision of the LABC, which was subsequently accepted by JASA. The issues was the provision for an absolute ban on violence, which was what the editorial decision of the ACBC had. Why the editorial decision is debatable. However, the SABC is not alone in the pursuit of news and current affairs program as they relate to daily processing of news, which involves news gathering, verification of facts, and editing procedures. The SABC is not alone in the editorial decision, honorable members. The letter and subsequent review interviews by Ms. Takamele Sowi, a former ENCA journalist, is a reference point. The letter making allegations of the manipulation of news, including how they are instructed to present themselves in terms of dress code, did not make headlines. Headlines was both in ENCA ETV or print media is used with the item, which to us also exhibits the symptoms of editorial decision or censorship as they now call it. With regard to your request for an implementation plan on the ruling of CASA's compliance and compliance committee of the media monitoring project versus the SABC, I will say there is no implementation, there are no implications. Say to say that the SABC has complied with the ICASA's ruling and the letter was communicated in ICASA in this regard, since the SABC's editorial decision has been accordingly been reversed. The debate regarding the matters related to that the SABC, it must be debated within context of law that governs the affairs of the corporation. The affairs of the SABC honorable members are governed by the Broadcasting Act as amended, particularly Section 6 of that Act. This section provides for the charter of the corporation that the SABC must just comply with. When it comes, how the SABC conducts itself, its responsibility must also resonate with its standing and influence in the society. Therefore, the debate currently taking place in the country must be viewed in the context of SABC contributing towards building a non-racial, non-sexist, democratic society. At the apex of this problem is the shaping of the public perception regarding themselves and breaking patriotism among South Africans. The Broadcasting Act also provides that the board is an accounting authority of the corporation, manages the affairs of the board, of the SABC. The board is supported by the executive committee of the corporation, who manages the day-to-day operations, not the minister. The statement on the status of on SABC suspicion, the SABC cases that were through the labor courts have also been settled as the 7 of the 8 employees have returned to us, except for a case that involves a freelancer, who is also a contributing editor. The other matter between the personal court, you know, the self-judicial. With regard to your request for the SABC cases that are before the personal court and the legal court and the official implication imposed on the broadcaster, honorable members, regarding editorial policy, there are no cases before in court in the Republic. I want to also emphasize that the public finance management is very clear in terms of the time frames for the submission of annual reports and the audited financial statement, which we all know is the 30th of September. We do not want to question the committee's wisdom in including the item as it concludes the discussions which are done during the tabling of annual reports. At the same time, we want to assure the committee our willingness for transparency and accountability. To this end, the SABC is involved in legal disputes through its normal course of business. The outcome of this legal claim may have a material impact on the SABC's overall financial position and results of operation. Due to the uncertain nature of these issues, any changes in this system may be based on additional information that it becomes available to result in material changes to the financial statements. On legal slides at the end of the financial year, the SABC spent over 256 million, which is an increase from the last financial year. In addition, the SABC had pledged for contingent liability, which comprises claims lodged by third parties against it, which in some cases may be reduced by a counterclaim for insurance. With regard to the issue of the financial position of the SABC and foreseeable impact on its operation, honorable members and honorable chairperson, you will recall when the Zuma administration took over in 2009 from the previous administration, the SABC's governance and financial health was in tatters. In fact, the SABC experienced corporate governance crisis late 2007 when there was an alleged interference in the appointment of board and executives. During this crisis, in particular in 2008 and 2009 financial year, the SABC lost 910 million and was forced to seek external funding as well so that the operational broadcasting requirements to the public would be sustained while the turnaround strategy was being conceptualized to ensure future potential corporate governance crises do not revisit the SABC. On the 24th of November 2009, government announced the approval of government withdrawal guarantee of 1.473 billion of which 1 billion was released to the SABC, which has been subsequently paid back by the SABC, which met all most of the tight conditions which were introduced. The issue referred to the Auditor General of South Africa to be investigated by the FIUS Parliament's 2009 session. Then, Honorable Chairperson, I want to report now to the Commission matters to date. So we have an SABC whose governance and audit funding has had to deal with the historical or legacy issues, including the reality that SABC has not had a qualified audit since then. In this regard, the corporation sought to redress matters previously reported by the EG while balancing the provision of its broadcasting services as required by law. Today, the board assisted by management has resolved more than 90% of the issues that were raised by the Officer General. To this end, they only have one audit finding. Honorable Chairperson, there was the issue that I was told to address with regard to the job and revenue enhancement. But I want to assure you, members, that the SAB is still a growing concern. The SABC's liquidity is that of a growing concern. The corporation managed to reach more than 808 million, which means they have recorded 411 million loss from the previous financial year's 1 billion that cash that was in their bank. We are not happy with millions that have been lost, but the SABC will explain what it is, but we know that the SABC is reinvesting the amount in local content as highlighted above. SABC has invested millions in the economy, not just over 500 million. It pays anyone to send checks for signal distribution. However, SABC spent millions through procuring local content production sector with particular focus on all areas in the country, just not in Southern, which was the norm in the past. You talk to people in the province and they'll tell you about this impact. The creative industry is identified by Mozambique's Golden Economic Policy as raising the greater potential for job creation and employment in the sector. We therefore congratulate the SABC Board and Management for their foresight and the introduction of the 90% local content in all platforms. We are happy to also report again that the SABC has lived up to this mandate and provided live coverage of the base leading to the build-up of the local government election, as well as during the election period itself. And then I have never had anyone congratulating the SABC for how it has managed to reach South Africa in broadcasting election. you knew that the ABC has managed to do that, notwithstanding by the fact that there was no single cent or amount was given to the ABC, even though the chain force within the part of the public mandate which must be funded by government. To this end, the ABC on its own raised 30 million to fund the broadcasting of the nation as no allocation was given by national treasurers. Another issue that I felt I need to deal with is with regard to the government subsidy for concessionary TV license holders. The SABC has resolved all government issues around the television license database. It has not been easy, but we want to congratulate them for this effort. We now have a clean and uncorrupted database. The current situation is contrary to the previous situation where the SABC will even send letter of demands to disease people or unemployed television owning households because their television license database was not updated. We want to also need to celebrate the SABC concessionary television license which is given our people at a reduced tariff to two license holders categories in accordance with the Broadcasting Act and the TV license regulation. They are persons of 70 years and older and those receiving social grant old age or disability from the state. The SABC's database currently reflects over 796,000 households whose concessional TV licenses qualify for an annual fee of only 70 rand instead of the normal fee of 250. Grant. Effectively, concessionary license holders are subsidized by the SABC, which is estimated as plus or minus 143 million in television license revenue that could be realized as an additional license income. My apologies. On going forward, Chairperson, I want to deal with the issue of the status of the SABC initial station. The SABC cases that were before the Labour Court have also been settled, and I will now hand over to the SABC team to lead us with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Minister. Okay, can we answer you?
My name is Aaron Chizumba. I'm representing the Chairperson. And the deputy chairperson. I chair the committee on broadcasting. Chair, we, as the board, we were, when we were appointed, we were tasked with the turnaround strategy of SABC. The first one was to pay back the debt, which the minister alluded to, 1.4 billion. Which we tasked the management to assist us on that, and we paid that back. The second one was to clean all issues mentioned by the AG on the audit, which we did that up to date. And you see when the annual report comes, Chair, that we only left with one which is technical, that we started late to address it when the AG was there. But it is also clean. Our board chairperson is, it has been appointed by this committee and entrusted to oversee the SABC by this committee. Our chairperson is a professor by profession. Our deputy chairperson is an advocate. So I don't see any issue that if a committee of this caliber entrusted people of that caliber to manage their company, this committee can again complain to the public. Maybe we should explain or define terms, Chair. What do we mean by the public broadcaster? The public broadcaster is not a private owned company. It's not an independent owned company. It's public owned company. What do we mean by public owned company? We mean that owned by government, because that government is a public institution, represents the public. So it's owned by communities like this one. That is why we don't have shareholders at the SBC. The only shareholder is the government through the Department of Communication. So unless we have other definitions and we have shareholders at the SBC that we are not told of, Jefferson. So we are entrusted to do those work, and we manage through the system of our management until today. As the minister has alluded, we didn't get any accolades of delivering the local municipality elections. And before that, media reports reported that with Minister Chaudi at the SBC, these elections won't be covered. And today, everyone is smiling. We managed to cover elections. The only broadcaster that covered elections to that magnitude. Why? Because we have a TV section and a radio section in one company. The only broadcaster that was in each and every community through the radios doing election debates. No political party complained in those villages. We are not on DSTV alone. We are even on analog transmissions, which is our radio stations. And it happens, we delivered the elections. We have delivered the Olympics again successfully. We're not getting any accolades on that. And South Africans were watching Olympics. For the first time in the history of SOBC, we delivered even the Euro Games. These are mandate of national interest, Chairperson, as the mandate of SABC. And majority of mandates of national interest are not budgeted for. These are the money that the SABC is raising, the SABC management is raising. Now all those events that I mentioned and that the minister has mentioned, if they constitute chaos at the SABC, now there's another definition of chaos that South Africans and the public must be told, and it must be explained to them. That if success is within a company, define you as chaos. Now we live in a different world, Jefferson, that we must explain to our people. And I've been CEO of government companies, entities, SOEs. If the SOE is in chaos or disarray, one bad SOE cannot submit quarterly reports. That SOE cannot submit financial statements. That SOE cannot submit annual reports. These are my experiences as a CEO of entities within government. All these are being submitted to this committee by the SOBC. See, this board was appointed, Chairperson. So I don't know what constitutes chaos. If it is media reports, I also teach media and journalists. When we write stories, we inform people. We need all investigative researchers or journalists. And we're writing stories so that the public can be aware of what is happening. So, and on experiences as CEO of entities, when inquiries are made to the entity, is when the entity is not complying with all those I've mentioned, Jefferson, and I want all those people who mentioned that the SABC is not submitting 1, 2, 3 to this committee for compliance to submit that list to us of the board so that we can follow them up, because that is our job to oversee. If we not submit annual reports, quarterly reports, if we not come to this committee when we are held, if we don't have financial statements, please, let us get that list. when we are here, our job is to comply to this committee and all entities of this country. The AG is so happy to present today, because from the 26 findings that they had when we were appointed, today's annual report, we're left with one. And I want to thank the AG for assisting us. They have been so cooperative, Chairperson, on assisting us to achieve that. Now, the AG is not a private company. That may be one can say they said this board bribed the AG. All government department entities are audited by the AG. And we follow all their advice. And up to today, they are so happy. Unless if they've issued a different statement that we don't know as the board. The statement on editorial policy, Chair, as the Minister has alluded, we followed all the procedures stated by the Act. Now, if the ABC management issued a statement which is not in the policy, that is why up to today, none of the people who mentioned the editorial policy, including the NGOs, can quote from our policy. That statement is not indicated on our policy. Even CASA cannot quote the statement that was mentioned by our management. So that is a day-to-day delivery of operations. In the newsroom, if the statement is related to news, when we sit on our diary meetings, the editorial meetings every day, as editors, it is our job to claim stories that we don't like. As editors, every morning or a day before, on our diary meetings, it is our job to be away with stories that does not have to do with or comply with our values and norms within our company. It's happening in any newsroom if you have been operational or practiced as a journalist or editor. We call that editorial meetings. That is why in any newsroom we have got a team of editors. These are senior journalists that are entrusted to select stories. So if the ABC management mentions something that is to do with the editorial daily practice, for diary meetings, policy does not delve with what you do every day. Policy is what is used. So it cannot be quoted from one of our policy today. Now, if all those successes, and I like to mention that if there's chaos at ESCOM, Chairperson, my example is load shedding. If the skills at post office, we don't receive post, and we don't send post. If the skills at SABC, Metro FM should be off-air. SABC 1 should be off-air. So, there's none of our stations, both radio and television, that has been off-air. So, our skills that is mentioned on the media reports. Now, Chairperson, I don't understand what chaos the media reports are mentioning to. We never had our unions, we sure have 3 unions at the SABC, that our employees are on strike. Since we paid off our debt, our unions came and brought submissions of non-negotiations on their annual increment, on their bonuses, on their salaries. We do that, and our unions are cooperative. We're working very well with them. We indicated to them, it was submitted to us as the board by management, that now you are financially healthy, can we sit down and negotiate? And we do that every year, just like any other companies we need. Because while we're still servicing the debt, we didn't have a liberty to do that, to see them negotiate, because there was no money. Now, all these findings, Chairperson, to achieve all that we have been achieving, to broadcast all that we have been broadcasting on the event of national interest has been happening with our management corporation. Mr. James Avino, Mr. Chaudi here, have been veterans to our broad experiences with them. This industry chairperson is person-based, is individually based out there. That is why when you see in the private industry, some broadcasters are on chaos today, because one of the leaders being fired or has resigned. That's how the industry works. Why? Because in our experiences, historical as the country, this industry was not everyone's industry, everyone's business. I can say still new in our country. So that is why you see that if you're talking of negotiations to sports rights, you need Mr. Chow to be there to negotiate sports rights, because he's known in that industry. If you're negotiating a commercial right of content or sales, you need Mr. X or Ms. X to be there. So when we mention this name of Mr. Saudi, James Avuma and the rest of the team, people think that it's like the broad fingers them or what. They are management. We trust them with that. And we have proven evidence that when you send them to negotiate a deal or a right, they come back with it. And with savings. So, with the permission of my chairperson and the deputy chairperson here, the executives led by Mr. Avuma, our acting CCO, will add on what the minister has said, especially on the financials. We are very much healthy, chairperson. And health is still preached the gospel as the board that if this committee representing this government was fully funding the SABC, a lot could happen, especially on our local content strategy that we launch. That we want to launch channels that represent languages as stated on our constitution. That is our next mission, Sir President. Thanks very much. I'll hand over to the acting GCO.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I have a presentation before us, but I think the Minister and the Professor Chizumba already talked to the majority of the findings, any of the presentations, so I won't go through them. I'll just focus on the last slide, which talks to the SABC's financial position. The minister has already stated a fact that we have in terrible the 2015-16 annual financial statements. So we cannot have a discussion here because it will be against the requirements of the PFMA that we discuss a document that has not been formally tabled. Sorry to say that we've attended an AGM that was held by the minister and we discussed the financial statements and annual report therein. So we will be talking about the details of those reports as and when but I need to deal with the issues around the financial statements or the financial position of the SBC. It's become a norm that on Thursday or Friday we get information, an email from the press saying they have the possession of an internal report from a source or some document has been leaked to the SABC and we should comment on it. Some of them are being extracts from the annual financial statements And we have taken a position as the SABC that we will not comment on information that has been leaked, because it doesn't make sense to comment on documents that have been received, for lack of a better word, illegally. The corporation has a code of ethics, one of which is confidentiality, and amongst others. And internal staff are leaking some of this information, and we've taken a position that we will not comment on it. But I need to add that because of the leaking of this information, and also with some of the inadequacies that the persons who have engaged in the leaking have been so far understanding financial statements are concerned, they tend to inflict the degree of what is characterized as chaos at the SABC. And we are saying that we will obey the law, which is the PFMAU so far as financial statements are concerned, and follow the process in explaining what is contained in the financial statements as dictated by the PFMA. So if we release a quarterly report, we will come to the committee and talk about that quarter. If we release a set of annual financial statements, we will follow the process. We're not going to use side routes to explain these issues, irrespective of the fact that they may have misstatements that are included in those financials. I also need to point out something about the chaos. Chaos is a very interesting word. And it's a word that, if you look at it, it's always one that the person who is using will have framed the mind around the definition of chaos. And I'll just limit that definition to the financial affairs of the SABC. We need to understand that before 2013, the SABC was audited by private audit firms. If you go and read the Public Audit Act, it says that the AG is the Auditor General of every government institution, basically. But as part of their corporate social responsibility, they allocate a percentage of their budget to private audit firms. So before 2013, the SABC had a couple of qualifications, one or two around fraudulent irregular expenditure. In 2013, a decision was made that the Auditor General shall take over the audit of the SABC. And committee members, I was part of the Auditor General's team. I sat there as a senior audit manager for 8 years. So around the audit field, I can state here that I know what is happening in that area. And immediately when we came in 2013, when I was recruited by the SABC to deal with some of these issues, I immediately told the SABC there are problems with the financial information that you have. Because when I look at the reports, and based on my experience, 8 years, auditing a variety of entities, from departments to public entities, big ones, couple of them, I can tell you there's a problem with these financials that you have. The AG threw to the words a couple of issues that I talked about that management needed to take a view on were the state of assets. Did people know how many assets the SABC had, who owns them, where they are? Something else I talk about is, I see no persons, you're a tax-paying entity, but I don't see the profiling of tax risk as something that is being managed properly. Third issue that I picked up was the accounting for TV licenses, which was obvious. It was being accounted for the cash basis, meaning that if somebody owed you 100 runs in cash, and then other license fees, outstanding license fees, and paid 60 runs, the SABC recorded 60 as revenue because they had 60 back. And I said, but that's not what international financial reporting standards require. What it says is that your revenue is 100, made up of two assets, 60 in the bank, 40 as a receiver. Therefore, we were understating revenue. Third issue that I picked up is supply chain issues. You could read from prior reports, I mean, the understanding of National Treasury's issues around supply chain were not very up to scratch. The policy which I asked for and read has certain gaps which created problems with supply chain. And remember, if you don't follow the law, then there's a problem that the expenditure could be irregular, fruitless, and wasteful, depending on the circumstances. Why am I painting this picture 2013 as a point of reference? It's just to tell you that the matters which were brought to the fore in 2013 by the Auditor General cannot have happened in 2013. They existed prior to 2013. And I can tell you as a committee that, for example, assets were not counted by for over 6 years at the SBC prior to that audit report. And why am I saying this? It's because the understanding the SBC's issues, you've got to contextualize them. I know there's a narrative where and the narrative says that this board, this management caused these things. And I'm saying from experience, if something has not been counted for 6 years, you can't blame the current management. The current management is responsible for remedying those issues. And this is what we did. So 2013, we, under the guidance, I mean, the demand of the board, we're instructed to develop an audit improvement plan. And I need to put this in context. I was from the Auditor General, so I had the experience. We wrote up that audit improvement plan, which we have been implementing in 14, 15, 16. That audit improvement plan had to deal with 9 qualification powers. Remember, 2012, we had 2, though it was up to 1, which was regular expenditure. And I can't remember the other item. A year later, it's 9. Those who are audit trained will know you cannot have a disaster in 1 year, save for a system collapse, where a system probably, you know, the SAP system or whatever system an organization uses, save for it collapsing and deleting all the data. You cannot move from 2 qualifications to 9. It's impossible. It means that the issues that were brought to fore in 2013 were there, probably many years ago.
So personal death. Members, there is coffee and tea. You'll grab something because we're going to continue for some time.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chair. So, with this narrative, we need to unpack these issues. They were there. I will go to TV licenses. We'll be accounting for cash. TV licenses on the cash basis since the SBC started collecting TV licenses. The database that we are talking about that we have just cleaned in the current year was implemented in 1996. So the question is, 97, 98, 99, 2000, what happened? And who allowed these things to happen? So That information is critical. It needs to understand this issue. So we say that audit improvement plan, we're going to deal with these things in stages. And the approach here was to look internally and say, if you look internally and you have 9 qualifications, could there have been a problem with internal skills in finance? As you mentioned in the papers, when I read, is no, we are losing consultants with their internal skills. Now the question is, somebody knowingly reading a set of financial statements sees that we have 20% of your balance sheet, which is assets, PPE, for those in the accounting field. 20% of your balance sheet has not been counted for 6 years. What does it tell you about the capabilities internally? TV license revenue. International Accounting Standards 18 on revenues, there it says you need to account for revenue if you can recognize I mean, it tells you, it's there on the accrual basis. For 1996, it was the cash basis. So the decision was taken. And I took it with the wisdom, I mean, the guidance of God. I advised them, we need to empower the finance team. As a short-term measure, we will appoint firms of consultants to help us. And I read in the media, oh, we are appointing consultants, render internal staff, and the question is, if the problem was created by the current core, what other option do you have? It's either refining them or redeploying them. And I'm going to come to the redeployment issue. Because it's one of the issues that, you know, we hear in chaos at this. I'm going to come back to that. But be that as it may, 2013 we get 9 qualifications. 2014 we activate the action plan. What happens in 2014? We treat 5 qualifications that were in the prior year. That is, we solve them. But the AG picks up 4 additional. So there was a net reduction of 1. The AG in their wisdom said, instead of getting a disclaimer of minority opinion as in 2013, that means the AG looks at the set of financials and the reports and says, I'm walking away from these financials. You're on your own. Make your opinion on the set of financials if you want. I'm not going to give an opinion. That's what the disclaimer means. In 2014, says, okay, there are 8 qualifications. Other than these 8 matters that I'm reporting on, the financial statements are credible for decision making. 2015, we reduce it from 8 to 3. So there's an improvement in the information. And saying, except for those 3 issues, you can now rely on the report. Remember, 2013-9, it says, I'm not even making an opinion on this financial. I've explained and I'm walking away. You're on your own if you make a decision. 2014, 8 qualifications. He says, except for these 8 things, you can rely on everything else. It's credible. 2015, 3 qualifications. The minister has already talked about the current year. We have 1. The media is out there, you know, saying all sorts of things. We have 1. I cannot say what that 1 is named because the minister needs to table it. But this is progress. This is progress because we are now improving the credibility of the information. But at the same time, we are having an unethical core of people in the SBC who choose to go against the code of ethics which talks about confidentiality of information. I'm saying this because I'm a chartered accountant. And I'm saying that you cannot get confidential client information here in the public field of your employer unknowingly leak it, whatever your rights are. But that is the kind of SBC you have. And it becomes a bit difficult to manage or to craft a committee like this and explain a situation where, in some instances, you find that the reports that you are being questioned on are from leaked information. So we have confidentiality requirements on one hand and this leaked information on the other one. So it becomes a challenge. But we are up to that challenge. We're going to deal with it. So we're aligning with 1 qualification. So credibility of the South African Broadcasting Corporation's financial statements as guaranteed by the AG's report is improving. I will talk about the finance team, which I've already talked to. We pick up that there is a nexus between the quality of financial information and the staff members that are producing that financial information. Now, we found a gap. I've written a report to the board that said we will need to reinforce that finance team with chartered accountants. And an instruction has gone out. We are already in process of shortlisting it. And the reason for that is being a chartered accountant is the upper. That's the topmost end of knowledge in financial management. So let's get the best such that the reports given to the committee are going to be free. We're doing that. And we need to mention that even the finance team was not properly transformed. I need to say this, and this is because of the history of the country, of this country, wherein it was an unwritten rule that senior positions in finance are not going to be or cannot be managed by previously disadvantaged people. That's a myth that we cannot tolerate, especially as a member of South Ghana Institute of Chartered Accountants. I cannot tolerate that. We have recruited the acting CFO, she's a chartered accountant, former CFO of Mahalis Water. She is there. We brought her in as part of the effort to deal with this issue. And I need to tell you, Mahalis Water was a client of mine when I audited them. And they had the same issues at the SABC. She cleared them. We brought her in. I can tell the committee here that she is also beating these unwritten rules. I won't be surprised if our friend Grant will get an email, trying to say Miss Rapella, which is there, has certain issues, is not qualified, is new words, is not qualified, is a bunch of whatever. Those are sectors. We are going to transform the finance team because that's the right thing to do. We will do it. However much complaints are going to go to media, we're going to transform it because it's the legal thing to do. Because the committee know transformation is not on the agenda. It is the agenda. We will do it. That's worth it. Another field that we have picked up that is not transformed is technology. We're transforming this. And we know, and you will notice, our engagement with some of the papers that engage us or try to engage me on these issues, they say a senior source in finance. And I'm saying a senior source should know about confidentiality. So I won't report. I won't comment. But the senior sources are fearing transformation. The transformation is going to happen because it's the right thing to do. Another comment that I would like to make is we hear about the SABC making losses, financial chaos, and so on. And I need to pay this picture. The SABC has a public mandate to deliver broadcasting events of national interest. Those events are not necessarily giving a positive return on investment. And I'll give you an example. If you go and buy some rights, especially in the sports area, which I need to thank this year for raising a lot of the money for those rights, negotiating those rights and so on. I'll give you an example. Somebody walks in from some country with a briefcase and tells you, if you want to show these games, it's $21 million, take it or leave it. Last year, that was about 330 million rands. The revenue from those games, for each rand that we, or let's say 10 rands that we invest, we get back, in certain instances, 4 rands from it. So, people who are looking at the SABC's finances through a commercial prism, they say, how do you invest 10 rands with the understanding that you're going to get back 4? The question is, I have no option. Because my colleagues from ICASA, they have told us you will broadcast. So, you know, before you take off from the blocks, that each 10 rand you invest in this right, you're getting back 4. These are coming from Olympics, chairperson. It's akin to saying, you put Mr. Van Nicker, wait, on the starting box. I also come along and they put a 10-kilo bag on my back and tell you, good luck, let's meet after 400 meters. That is what running a public entity is. And the 10-kilo bag is the responsibility to meet the public mandate. I need to emphasize this. The losses that you are talking about is not actually a loss. It is the cost of delivering public mandate. I spent 3 years at the AG Auditing Department of Health, and I'll give you an example just to make this concept simpler. If you walk to a public hospital and say you've got a problem with your head, it's a neurosurgical procedure, it could cost you 250,000 rands at the minimum for that procedure in a private entity for Netcare. Let's say Netcare. It could cost you in that region, or even more. Netcare will bill your medical aid in excess of 250,000. Let's argue 350,000. They bill you the cost of medicine, the specialists and so on, comes to 250. So next year recognizes a profit of 100,000 on that surgical procedure. Now you go to Fortescue up the road here. Same procedure. The specialist who works in med care is going to do the same things in Fortescue. So the cost is going to be 250,000. But the revenue that you get because of the public hospital may be limited to that admin fee. I think it used to be 20 rands. I don't know what it is now. But you pay for, you know, the books. So, through the commercial prison, somebody will say, Fortescue is making losses, it's a disaster. But it's not a disaster. That's the cost of public money. It cuts the believer. It has no option. While Medicare is making a profit. The, I have challenged our colleagues in the media and say, just for 3 months, please just try and broadcast sports. And we see how you do. Just broadcast sports. Where you go and buy rights for 90 million, knowing that you will recover 15 to 20 million. Try it. You will not get out of the door of that bottle because the shareholders are going to drive you away. Unfortunately, the shareholder of the SABC is the state, the public, the people. So we have to deliver it. So we are running a juggling game here where the funds are from commercial sources and then we deploy them to the public good. Unfortunately, we cannot manage the cost of delivering public good because it was, we are net takers of the cost of sports rights. We are net takers. The past elections, we budgeted 32 million rands to run those elections. We got zero. If Mr. Traudia, who has become, you know, an object of of interest in the media, I see on Fridays, he also gets a few emails. If he hadn't raised 15 million, we would have spent 30 million from our reserves for that exercise. And remember, with elections, you don't make so much money from them. So we're saying, if the SABC's public mandate is not funded from the fiscus, what can we do? So as the SABC, we are going out and doing a lot of work to try and raise funds. And that's why the strategic partnerships that we are talking about, wherein we raise funds, and the CEO is the one driving those issues. You can't come to the SBC, we'll show you. I mean, billions. A billion also that is raised is just to plug that gap. I challenge anybody here to say that they can actually deliver profit at the SBC without cutting sports, without not broadcasting events of national interest. This is the first board, probably, that has consciously decided to invest in events of national interest, whatever the cost. So when you look at the losses and so on that you are being talked about, it's because we have taken a conscious decision that we'll do that. Arguments are, no, but in the past, 2013, there was a profit. I said, please, you can't read financial statements without first understanding what is in the audit report. 2013, AG saying, I have walked away from this opinion. I'm giving you an opinion. These financials are too chaotic that I can't make an opinion myself. And then there's a profit there. And that is now a benchmark of the press to tell me that our financial situation is getting worse. How does somebody tell you, be careful of 9 issues? There are so many that have walked out from an opinion, and there's a profit under there. And you say, aren't you seeing the profit? It doesn't make sense. And he's telling you, right now, 3 qualifications last year, we posted a net loss of about 380 million. Last year's financial report statement, last year. And somebody say, no, but I'm comparing a profit there with disclaimed. The auditor general is warning you. Don't. You're on your own if you make decisions. And we're telling you here, with the limited number of qualifications, this is the loss. We say that the SFBC is going to continue delivering on its public mandate. It has challenges with funding that public mandate because, in my example that I've illustrated in the medical case, is that the revenue should be plugged from the fiscus. would really think that's where it should come from, because it is the end of national interest. Commercially, if we decided to deliver a profit tomorrow, we can't. I simply switch off sport. And tomorrow you have 600 million profit. But at what cost to the public? I could do a switch off news. And you have a billion in profit. But you can't do that.
Can you mind that?
Yes. So I think just to end here, we need to ask, what exactly is the problem at the SABC? Because people have framed certain problems. But this is what I need us to understand. The first thing, we have heard of requests to reverse the ban on reading of newspaper headlines on SABC radio and TV. Newspapers are commercial entities. They want to sit on the SABC platform and get free coverage. And we think we need revenue. I already explained to you that rights are becoming expensive. We did. So if you want free advertising on the SABC, pay for it. That's what we say. Second thing, we get requests. The SABC, when are you selling Metro FM? 5 FM? When are you selling the property in Seaport? I'm saying, who told you? We can't sell our cash cow. So we don't know whether some of these informations, the information that is being so-called leaked from sources, is to create a situation of chaos to actually answer those questions in the affirmative, selling of Metro FM and so on. Third issue that we're talking about, we are going to change the way acquisitions at the SABC happens, because there's no transformation, especially in the supply of technology and IT. I can challenge you the number of previously disadvantaged companies that are delivering that space. 22 years of them is not representative of what we saw. Those are issues that we're going to change, and it's probably causing the chaos. The final one, and last one I need to talk about, is we are saying that we are rationalizing the balance sheet of the SABC. We're looking at the balance sheet and want it to reflect the business of broadcasting. One of the issues that we're looking at is the post-retirement benefits. It sits there as a liability of $1 billion. And we say we're going to investigate it and say, look at it and say, does it make sense to have a contribution plan or a defined benefit plan? And you notice that when you start talking about these things, IT, whatever, you know, those dark corners, then you get questions on Thursday. If you turn them tighter, you get them on Friday, and so on. So, we are saying that we are going to do these changes because it's the right thing to do. And the last one, Chairperson, is we are talking about four people, as the minister has alluded to, who were suspended, or rather dismissed, but are now back. We dismissed 123 employees for medical aid fraud. I want that demand to also probably stretch in that area. 123. Yes, medical aid fraud. 123. So we are saying that we are going to still continue with disciplinary issues insofar as staff members go against the court of the SABC. Fraud, breach of confidentiality, and so on, it will continue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Agum. I know a number of them like to call it names. Thank you very much. Members who don't have time, and if we don't want to be unfair to each other, because we have to break, and the sitting is at 2 o'clock. But it doesn't close the discussions. Can we, Honorable Van Kalwijk, Honorable Plekana, Honorable Van Dam, Honorable Sedi? Thank you, sir. Honorable Lerumo.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I would like to appreciate the broad overview
and clarifications given by the minister, who is the accounting authority of the department and the entities there, and who we expect to perform the duties as required, including to account for the entities and take full blame for anything happening within the entities. Then, I think it's important, given that it's a public broadcaster, and we shouldn't shy away from certain things that have happened or that have been continuously in the public domain during the past few months. So, I would like to pose the question to the minister and the entity to enlighten us on the issue of the SBC freelancer, who in some pockets of the community are assumed to be not reinstated. Just give us some clarification for those of us who doesn't understand the issue quite clearly. Also, if you can give us some insight into the resignation of Mr. Matthews, who also left. Then, as a last point, seeing that we have time limitations, I would like to make it clear that in terms of the South African labor law legislation, it is required of all the organizations, employee organizations, to abide by the relevant labor legislations within our country. And the ACPC is no different. As has been mentioned, an observation that I've already made also is that there has been a big media frenzy around the suspension, dismissal, reinstatement of the 8 employees, whereas no one reaped a word against the 123 employees dismissed last year. Also, that we acknowledge from time to time, taking into account that ACBC is a very big organization with more than 5,000 employees, there will be disciplinary codes and procedures that needs to be implemented, and internal procedures needs to be followed, and I think from outside we should also respect that, but not allow that the labor legislations are not being implemented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Majal Edigal. Let me start by saying that I really appreciate the report from the Minister and the Board of SABC and the management. The clarity that was given is amazing, because South Africans were misled. Our journalist made the public to believe that there is a policy changes, while there is not. There was only a decision in the boardroom, and they know that those decisions happen every day, even before some of us were born. But then they went to the media, choose to be unpatriotic to their country, telling lies. I think sometimes it's true that through our liberation laws, such mishaps needs to be dealt with. Now, they will tell us about the selection of issues as a salary. It's bad. If people will want to capture the ACBC through lies, now you can see that it's clear. The DA represents only 4 whites, but the people who were dismissed were 8. But anyway, it's their right also. What we do in this country is to expose lies, Minister. And this committee will not tolerate such behavior. We will make sure that all the time will tell the people the truth of what exactly is happening in South Africa. Now, we know where SABC is. I'm shocked now to hear from the board member to say that the chairperson of the board is the professor. The deputy is advocate. Why the public was crazy that is a bunch of uneducated people there? CFO, you are a chartered accountant, but people are made to believe that you are a benefactor. You see? Then it shows that this country has people with hidden agendas to discredit the government of the ruling party, the AUC. Maybe, Mr. Aguma, you need to tell us, unpack how do you get this money? And where do you get it sometime? Thank you very much, the management, especially Mr. Kaudi and Aruma, for making sure that the SABC is always supporting the special projects. I don't know. I thought that all the time is parliament or government that is giving the money to do that. So today now I know that elections, funerals, all the VIPs and everything is through the SABC. And the budget that we are giving SABC, I think the country deserves to know the truth. From the government, they are getting only 2%, something like 150 million. People must know the truth. They deserve to know the truth. We are giving them 2%. All those monies are raised by the leadership of SABC. And it's the first time for sure the SABC ran without any debt. Let's believe that in future, journalists will speak to their ethics. They will know exactly what to report about. Because what we are getting from the management and the minister, it's not what we are reading every day in the newspapers about SABC. It's totally different. Totally different. And, Chair, I just want to ask few questions. But because of time, I will leave them to one or two. I want you to understand from the management, how are they going to deal with it? Because we heard that there will be the day of liquor advert. I want you to understand how are they going to deal with that. Because in watching TV every day, you see that what is in the advert, in the time, still is liquor. So I just want to understand how are they going to deal with this and what is the impact that is going to cause to SABC. And number two, the issue of audit. Number three, maybe to understand how many consultants do you have. Number four, how many vacancies do you have? Then I will pass here. Maybe I will come back. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I actually don't even know where to start. We seriously need a full-scale inquiry into the SABC. From the three presentations that we've heard, I cannot, in good conscience, as a member of parliament, elected to conduct oversight over this department and go home and feel I have done my job. I do not feel that such a situation at the SABC is right. We have a discharge of our constitutional duty as this committee to conduct a proper inquiry. We need to invite the minister, the same SABC board, we need to invite stakeholders in the industry, we need to invite NGOs, we need to invite the unions. I am absolutely not satisfied with what I've heard here. Now, to deal with individual presentations, here from the SABC board, it is laughable that you would come here and tell us that you must be loaded for doing your job, for making sure that SABC stations are not are having them taken air. We are not here going to celebrate you for doing the bare minimum of your job. As the SABC board, you have failed dismally in your duties to conduct oversight over the SABC. In my opinion, all of you should be fired, and this committee should appoint a new board which is going to do their job, because you guys have failed to do it up. There was utter chaos, and chaos is the right word, Mr. Abuna. There was utter chaos at the SABC during the election. Staff fired, you lost court cases, decisions were made about the SABC of canning shows. It was utter chaos. So rank amateur hour at the SABC, so I do not think you should be congratulated. You do not deserve congratulations at the SABC board. You have failed, and you have failed dismally. Mr. Mutambi, sorry, what did I say?
You said
Mr. Mutambi. I find it also quite appalling that you spent the first part of your presentation attacking the media, attacking NGOs. In your role as a communications minister, you were supposed to have a good working relationship with the media. You're not here to be attacking the media. You should, if you feel that there are problems that need to be fixed, you should address those problems instead of attacking. And it's actually quite incorrect for you to say that in our memorandum we said we only support white journalists. That is a liar, and you know it's a lie. Mr. Magoya, you said at the beginning of your presentation, you can't talk about the financials at SABC, and you spent a full half an hour talking about the financials at SABC. So I've got a lot of questions about the finances at SABC, to which I expect full answers, because quite clearly you're quite happy to talk about the finances. So please do give those answers. And here I have so many questions, and there's simply no time. This meeting is just not enough to deal with issues at the SABC. What I will do with that is just put out a few of the questions. I have so many. Right. The editorial policy. Minister, you once again, and I have had plenty of engagement about this, you're once again misleading the public about this. This is what happened. The SABC said, announced that there was going to be a revision of the editorial policy. You conducted initial consultation, indeed you did, that is absolutely great. But after that initial consultation, the SABC announced by way of a press statement that there would be a draft editorial policy published for public consultation. So therefore, after you received the initial consultation, you're going to put together a document which would be the draft policy which would be put up for comment. That never happened. That never happened. There was never a draft policy put out. So you went back on commitment for public consultation in that regard. The initial consultation is not what we're talking about. It is when a statement put out by Graham Walsh, I think his name was, saying there would be a draft policy. That never happened. And secondly, if I had not submitted a parliamentary question asking about the editorial policy, you would have never announced to the public that there was a new editorial policy. I only found out months later by way of the parliamentary question that there was a new policy. So that policy was approved in secret. There was not enough public consultation, and you know that is the truth. My question then is, why was there no draft policy published, as was a commitment from the SABC? Why was there a document saying this is the policy that we are suggesting for the SABC editorial policy, and we would like that document to have come in? Why didn't that happen? And then also, the financial, questions started, I've got so many of them. Mr. Abuma, on the financial position of the SABC, Mr. Lott mentioned of 265 million in claims. I couldn't quite catch in your presentation what that related to. So is that claims from dismissed staff? Can you just provide clarity on that? And then we've always asked the question about the amount set aside by the SABC for your contingent liabilities. So that the funds that you dip into when you're in court, and you're in court a lot, you're in court quite a bit. lots of matters. So spend quite a lot of money on court cases. How much is the budget that you have for contingent liabilities? And how much have you spent, number one, on disciplinary matters related at SABC and on the court cases of the CEO of Shadi Mosune? Please give us those shares. And then there was a negotiation that the SABC concluded a settlement with the former acting CEO, Franz Mahala, that he was handed a settlement. What was the amount? And why was he dismissed? Why was he disciplined? To date, the minister, despite repeated questions, has refused to tell us what was the reason that the CEO was suspended. What happened? Why was he given money? How much was he given money? We need to know that is that is Parliament. The SABC and the minister cannot keep that secret. And then the issue with the CCC and the ban on the coverage of life protests, of violent protests. The minister said the CCC found that you didn't bring your decision. Minister, have you read the judgment? The CCC found that you that decision was quite wrong, and you were quite wrong in that decision. So what have you done since then? I didn't hear that from your presentation. What have you done to implement that judgment? Is the SABC now sure in making sure that you give South Africa full coverage of what's happening on the ground? So those are just a couple of my questions. Like I said, there's many more. We need that inquiry. Thank you.
Honorable Sadi, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me as well welcome all the presentations and the report from the Minister, Chairperson. But I have two questions, but I need to raise the following things before. If there are some honorable members who, while they were claiming to be representing this committee, promised people that they are coming here to push for an inquiry about the affairs of the SABC, they must know upfront that they do not have our support. Because from the presentation that was received this morning, Chair, it becomes very, very clear that there's absolutely no reason why we must go that particular route. The minister in a presentation referred to this memorandum. It's indeed a shame, especially from people who claim to be representing a non-racial party. Swinging out Steenkamp, Pillay, Kreke, and Panther out of the 8 fired journalists of the SABC. He confirms what we have been saying, that this party represents the interest of white people. You only talk about black people when you want their votes. So it's high time that our people must know the kind of a party that you are talking about. Two issues as I indicated, Chair, and one is prompted by the slide that talks to the 30 million as raised by the SABC through strategic partnership, especially for elections purposes. And I'm tempted to ask the question, Chair, because the ruling party has taken a resolution around the agreement of funding for the SABC, so that he must not be able to execute his mandate very clearly. This committee as well has reiterated a resolution on a number of occasions pertaining to this particular issue. And I'm appreciative if Minister in the SABC were then able to be briefed on progress with regard to the particular issue. And if I remember, we also raised this matter very, very sharply during the BRRR process, that this matter needs to be attended to. The last one, Chair, if you can as well share with us your strategy on the collection of finances, because I know from what you have been saying, this is one other area that we need to attend to very, very seriously. So let me pause, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chadi, Honorable Mulder.
Chairperson, thanks very much for the opportunity. I am typically not a member of this committee,
But as you know, the rules allow me as a member of parliament to attend and to take part. I was a member of this committee for 15 years, the first 15 years, and there's nothing that happened during time. So let me start by saying that I do have problems with certain newspapers, the certain commercial registrations, and the censorship that they apply, and that's been ancient here. But the difference is that I can stop buying them, or I wrote a letter to them and try my best to influence them. But I really believe the SABC is different, in the sense that it's a public broadcaster. And I'm forced to pay a license, my supporters are forced to pay a license, and the definition is the public, meaning having a service to everybody in public. I would like to concentrate on what I see in the news policy of the SABC, and they shouldn't become too censorship. So, the news agency's most important asset is its credibility. If you lose your credibility, you can look at the discussion, but it's very difficult to get it back. And I'm worried that that's happening at the moment at the SABC. Now, the debate started, as I collected from outside, was a debate on broadcasting of violence and for the instigation of violence by being part or being there as a camera. Now, if I may say, I was a professor in communication and journalism before I came to politics. That is a valid debate. There's a lot of arguments out there where the camera started, etc. So surely we can debate that and there's some rules we can apply. But I'm afraid that was only the tip of the iceberg that we saw happen. And I think when you looked at Mr. Dylan Matthews, what happened to him and what he said afterwards, and with the 7-8 journalists that was fired in a sense, I think that demonstrated a much bigger problem. And you can look at the Freedom France reaction to that, and I really think it's sad that we say, uninvited here or whatever, before it's all of them, because we really believe in freedom of speech. Now, I think they demonstrated the problem, and that's what we worry about the SAC. You know, the strongest censorship in any organization is what I call self-censorship. What's that? That means because of subtle pressures from above, from the head, from the editors, from the top, even from government, you know you must do this and this, and be politically correct or whatever, and not doing your job properly. And I think that's what happened at the SABC, and for the first time, at the top of the iceberg, we saw this when these people were sort of fired in a sense. Now, I can give you a lot of examples, and there's no time of them, but I see a special simply. I think it's just been from a personal experience, maybe it's more credible. at the SABC, for example, there's a radio phone program on issues concerning us and concerning me and certain things. When I phoned in, I was told, if you are Peter Mulder from Freedom Front, you're not allowed to take part in this debate. My colleague, Dr. Runewald, 2 weeks late, phoned in on an issue that's very critical in his field, and he had the same reaction. I wrote a letter to the radio station and tried to claim, and they came back to me, but there was no real explanation. Even in the elections, and I'm sorry, probably from my perspective, but maybe there's other examples, but much better ones I can give you. After the election, 3 months ago, I had to write a letter to the SB News staff to say, and to give them statistics, how Freedom Front, as my party, was totally ignored. No coverage, what was they? I'm not the biggest party, but if you look at the results in the end, we cases in South Africa, so surely justified covering some of her actions or having some reporting somewhere, but it's all going back to what I call very subtle censorship coming from above. And I think this, for this a journalist, became symbol of that in a certain sense. And I think it's a bit sad, and I listen and would like to ask my question on that as well, to say the fraud people that the fraud and risk is in the same package. So I would really like to see, I see it totally different. Now, as I said, I was part of this committee. I was part of when we draft some of the bills in the SABC on ICARS, and there's a big debate on the role of the SABC because it's a very difficult one. And I must add, sir, being away from many years, I listen to the minister and listen to the spokesperson on behalf of the board, and I'm afraid, and I'm going to put some politics, they did not get the message from the voters up there. What was the message from the voters in the metros? The message was that they punished the AC for what they experienced as arrogance. That's what I experienced. That's the message they gave to me. I listened to the minister. She came out fighting, not as minister, as an AC politician. It's all right. She can do that. But I'm afraid that's not going to solve her problems. Not even throwing the racial card as she did. And the same as person from the SHC, I left to the particular thing, whether the SHC is owned by government, is it a government broadcaster, or is it the public broadcaster? I think there's a difference. I'm very little disturbed when I get to the SABC in the lobby. There's a picture of the president and the minister. That's an illustrated partnership at that. I don't see it ought to be in the SABC. Not the way I see it as an independent public broadcaster, not being financed by government. Because the argument is, at this stage, over 50% of people voted for the ANC, that is the government. What about the others? The other 30, that's
I could be here at the same time as well, or any public broadcaster on that one structure. So, sir, to conclude, I really believe inquiry is necessary again. It's only to find the role and the responsibility of SABC as a public broadcaster for all people. We all pay license fee. I'm forced to pay license fee. I can't stop and say I don't want to pay for that. They say 3% of money comes from government. That's correct. But that's tax money. So that's my money. It's not ANC money. It's tax money. So in that sense, again, we'll have to debate that. Am I sure? What is the role? And then come to censorship, because surely there must be some control over that to be fair. So my question will be, do I really see the eight journalists and their situation the same as the four cases? Is it exactly the same? And then, government broadcast, public broadcast, do they see that it's the same thing, or is there a difference between the two? And why can't we then have a discussion on the role of SBC for the future? We had that in the past. On the finances specific, we had a long debate, going to the BBC, all over the place, how a public broadcast must be financed. And the big problem is, the moment government starts financing it, then government wants to control it, of course. And there's a lot of measures, if a BBC and those, if the government can give money once every 5 years, there's no control, there's no back to ensure the independence of the public broadcast. Do we see SABC as an independent public broadcast, or is it becoming a government ANC broadcaster? We need to know that, because that will change a lot of things in the future. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Maybe the chair as a parliament as a whole will need a debate on what actually is SABC and its role. Because I'm sure as different parties we tend to see it differently with different eyes. But I think I won't get into issues which are directed to the presenters. But I want just to commend SABC on one thing, their coverage of these machines. Whether you like it or not, I think you must actually also, as SABC, maybe explain to us the allocation of time to parties during elections. So that I know this has been a question which every election, every time come up, but I think you must remind us on that. Because to me, the way you covered, it was fair and balanced. And also, I don't want to forget the IEC, the way it has, I think we should congratulate the IEC. The way it handled these elections and it finalized them, despite maybe some niggling problems here and there. But, I want just to get to the issues. No, the SABC is a public broadcaster. Everybody is interested to it. And it's true what James is saying. If SABC does not implement those programs which are for the public, most people won't be able to know what is happening in the country, because not everybody's got money for pay TV. That is one thing clear. But what I want us to clear, although that these issues are clear, I don't think we must actually hide anything and leave issues hanging. I'm sure at some stage we wanted to interface with this board, with the minister, so that we understand whether the board is there, whether the board is creating, what decisions is taking, because they're out there, what is presented of your face, different from what you're presenting here, and to the public. And the only thing which will take those things away is when we actually interface this committee with you, so that we can actually ask all these questions on, because you are custodians of the electoral policy and all this policy there. So to me, maybe when we will have time to do that as parliament. And also, I would like just to just to actually come back to this issue of, because look, there's no doubt about transformation.
That is our objective. We fully agree with you. Those areas of SADC which are still conservative are still in the hands of people who are actually resisting transformation. You have to be seized with that problem. On that, I fully agree with you. If IT or engineering, you have all those problems, you have to deal with them, because we're going to actually again ask you, what are you doing about them? So, but to me, I would want you to, because, you know, unfortunately for the SAPC, you can cry foul on leaks. That's the problem with leaks. But once that information is there in the public domain, all of us were the first who will be running and asking the minister, Minister, what is this? What is happening? After calling you as a management, top leadership, and of calling the board, going to the board to account for what is happening. So to me, it's very vital that when you have these platforms, as you have done so far, to actually give us the benefit of doubt, to explain these issues, you know, like the one which was on Sunday Times just recently, and which you have just mentioned, and like, on this, why do you have to go outside? And I'll like you to come back to that point in particular, because that's where every business is. And without us knowing why do you, when you have a structure responsible for that, but you actually decide to go for consultants. So to me, those areas are important. Once the thing is there on the public domain, you must gear yourself to make sure that you give correct information back to the public, to us in the minister in parliament, so that these issues are put into bed. Because if you are not doing that, the perception would be there. You know, most people, we don't, you know, realize how many people LAPC employs. We think it's you when we see you, and then we listen to radio, and those few people talk on radio, people who see on TV. We don't know how many people are dealing with daily. And also, I'll encourage you, be very strict. There is no organization which is not strict on its internal processes and confidentiality when people have actually committed themselves in their contracts. So those issues, I think, must be very much make sure that we are able to actually deal. And also be specific on these programs where you spend money you don't have. Not just the general say, no, it's a public responsibility. Oh, just to say, you tell us, we are not given money when we have to do 1, 2, 3, 4. When are there all these big government national events? There's no money coming from treasury. And what effects does it have? So that we understand what we are saying exactly. So say to me, you know, jumping for inquiry without engaging this structures, we want to bring everybody, you say stakeholders, don't know stakeholders you are talking about. Yes, the board, we have the right to call it, we have powers. Yes, with the minister, yes, the SADC management, we have only when we are not satisfied that we will request parliament for that. Is what we're discussing now. That is why all this, what is rumors, what goes on paper, is leaked information or sources, we must first engage with them. It's only when we are not satisfied we'll call those people, they come before the committee itself with that information. So to me, I don't see a reason for jumping to an inquiry. Which inquiry? That is why even last week we said there are processes. We have SADC. She says this, she's not satisfied. She has, oh, he has own, you know, her own interpretation. Maybe she's, it would be helpful to the committee if she can take tabulate to us and bring it to the table to us. These are the areas I think the court, the SABC, the minister and the board are not giving us. This is the information. Based on that information, we pursue it with them. I don't think there's anything we're afraid of or want to be hidden away from the public, especially here in Parliament. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, another colleague, member.
Hi. So, I just want to point, referring to the generation we fired, what is the ANC to protect the generation we fired? The ANC actually supported the dismissal, and I just want to mention that it's an absolute nonsense that the DA unsupported or grew for the right choice at the time of that memorandum.
Who supported
that? The other two, they haven't been fired.
Honorable Van Dijk?
Yes.
This is a committee. You can't ask a party what do they do. You can't do that.
Okay. Sorry, that's unfair. All these ANC members here have been saying that the DA did this, the DA did that, they weren't out of order?
No. Honorable Van Dijk, please. The member one is asking the question to the party that is represented here. We don't do that. You can't ask questions to the party. We are meeting the department at the board of SABC. Please.
Thank you, Chief. And then I also just want to mention that it's not only the DA that are unhappy, or the only people that are unhappy with the conditions at the SABC. We also have, there's also a petition going around that 13,000 people in South Africa have signed. Calling for my children to be removed and that there must be an inquiry. So I just want to confront you that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Two members came in when after starting the meeting. The Deputy Minister came in and Honorable Mola, because I acknowledge everybody before they came. You're welcome, Deputy Minister, and welcome to you, Doctor. And all those who came after, there are entities that are acknowledged. Because I spoke about it, but the acting chair is there with the chief CEO and the team. There are very many people here, journalists, and I saw somebody with a t-shirt right now. This is a public meeting. The committee is supposed to be attended by whoever wants to attend. Sit there, but they can't participate. Thank you very much. We have a crisis of time in which these members will have to be here until latest 1:30. I'm not sure about lunch preparations, but if because ICASA came and they must present, we'll see how to manage the time. At least 1:30. Now, you have 15 minutes to respond to questions.
Thanks, sir. I think ours at the board are two issues. Mr. Matthews was on retirement. We asked, when we asked the executives, who are the senior people whom we can recommend to act? And he was on top of the list to be the senior person. How he resigned, we also saw it on the social media. So I'm sure he can answer better on that. labor issues. This is what we emphasized as the board to say to management, please adhere to all labor compliances because it's audited by AG when they come. So we don't want any mistake on that. They do the internal processes first, they get report, then they act on the recommendations. The failures that Honorable Member mentioned to us as the board, this is what I started with on my statement. I said, from my experience on working on entities of government, if the government company cannot submit quarterly reports, financial statements, annual reports, cannot attend, the board cannot attend meetings of the portfolio committee, there is a problem there, as the failures that indicate. So if there are those issues, I said, please, we welcome them, list them, and then you point us against them. If it's the issues of an employee has been fired, that's operational. We are not an operational board. We oversee compliance and advice on the strategy. Then the other issues of, as the board, we failed whoever party, remember, chairperson, we are non-politicians as the board. Our political head is the minister. So I can answer on that. The public voters' independence, this is what I mentioned, you know. The example I can give is Telkom, as our telecommunication company in the country. The government has a share thing, it's a shareholder. Who is the shareholder of the SABC? That's how you define public versus independence. So I said, the SABC is public owned, it's owned by the public. And the public, through the electoral processes, nominated and voted politicians to be here, to take decisions on behalf of them. So which means that this is owned by this government. Now the definition becomes the government, not mentioning political parties, each one of them. The government is constitutional government in South Africa, which is its collective. So all collective decisions, whether it's a small party or a big party, when it's a resolution, is the government together. This is not a one-party state or a constitutional state. So that's the definition of public versus independence. So the SABC is a public company. That's one we cannot shy off. If you help us as the board and the management of the SABC, if it's independent or private, then you won't be sitting here, Sir President, confirming or getting advice from the others. So we have a mandate. The executives will answer the operational questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I want to tell honorable members, we as SABC, we are not apologetic on transformation of the organization. We are not going to stop by the noise, because I think you as honorable members, maybe the inquiry should be, why are these people having so much interest? Maybe we need to start with them and inquire about them. What is this interest about these people who are having so much interest at the SABC? Because I know why I'm saying that, Chair. And members of this portfolio committee, they have taken an oath. And some of the issues that they are doing, really they are not adhering to the oath that they have taken. Especially honorable member here from DA, they know themselves that they do stuff that they are not supposed to do with some SABC employees. They are aware about all these issues. So how are we going to respect this committee? Because you see, if you are members of parliament, you should be also honorable on action. Some of members are not honorable in this case. Let me pause there. Freedom Fund, I'm very glad that, Doctor, during the election time, I saw at least you you allow members of black people. I don't know whether they are members, but have seen you attending your events. You see, we as South Africans, we need to move away from
that. We have candidates as members, so I don't think that's the issue at the moment. Yeah.
No.
That's not right.
Yes, Honorable Member, I'm coming. Just listen to me, what I'm saying. What I'm alluding to, we as South Africans, we need to move away from the color issue and deal with the diversity of South Africa. This is what I'm coming to. And I'm saying, at least I'm pleased, because I was wondering whether really I can attend events of Freedom Front, but I have seen that I can in this case. But what is more important for us at the ADC is we are aware that some of the regulations, they have never been transformed since 1995. And one of those regulations is ISCA. We are going to zoom into that regulation and transform RSCA as a station. During the election, there have been complaints from EFF, for example, about the treatment within that radio station. Also, the issues that they talk and when they do it, black people are not apologetic. We know why we are there at the LADC. And we know that we are not going to please everyone. Ours is not to please everyone. Ours is to deal with the issues at the SAP. And following the Broadcasting Act, I'm happy the minister alluded to the issue of the responsibility of the SABC if you read the Broadcasting Act. And all the decisions that we have taken, I still believe we have been adhering to the Broadcasting Act. That is what I still believe. And I still believe that a public broadcaster, we are not a commercial broadcaster, we have a responsibility to defend democracy, to defend 11 languages. That is what the Broadcasting Act demands from SABC. And no, we are not apologetic, we are going to defend that. It is important to say to the members of this House, we are aware at the SABC that some political parties, they collude. Collude is a very nice word. They collude with certain print media and certain commercial broadcasters. We are aware. I have been asking myself, if people have issues about the decision of the SABC, because it is not a policy, it was a decision of the SABC, and the decision has been taken not because we were trying to hide people who are demonstrating. And when I hear people talking, they have been saying to us, you did that because actually you are protecting the ruling party. There is ruling party here in the Western Cape. If you are talking about we are protecting any party, because DA is ruling the Western Cape. We are aware of that. So we didn't say in the Western Cape you should show those videos. We didn't say that. It was a responsible statement. And let me demonstrate to you, people have been coming to SABC demanding SABC to go and cover all this protest. So we were discouraging people not to come to the SABC so that we go and show those videos when they ban schools or so on and so on, when they ban people who are staying somewhere. And we are saying, as a responsible public broadcaster, we need to play around all these issues. The issue is, by showing these visuals,
We don't know who's in that last room, example. I'm just giving you an example. We don't know who's there. Are you saying you as members of this parliament? We need to show the physicality of people banning people. Are you saying that when people stabbing each other, you should see those blood, people stabbing people? I don't think people who are reasonable, they will allow that to happen. The issue of the SABC, it has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with leadership at the SABC and the responsibility of the organization. So, when you look around the world, there are so many cases, even in America, where white police shot black people. Have you seen this shot and blood? What kind of country are we building here? As members of this parliament, and people who are championing whatever that they are championing. But the fact of the letter members is, there is an agenda. I don't know who's pushing this agenda. And we need to understand the role of NGOs and who funds the NGOs. For what reason? Because the issue of the SABC was not the viewers. We released a statement on the 26th of May. The issue came in June when we took a decision at the SABC to say we are not going to approve the newspapers on the platform of the SABC. That is when people were making noise, right, about the SABC. It was not influenced by the viewers. They hijacked what we so-called censorship. Because at the SABC, we don't have censorship. And we are here. There is no censorship. It was editorial decision like any newsroom. Let me tell you how newsroom operates. And I'm happy, Doctor, you also come from that background. In newsroom, all editors, they sit down. Journalists come and sell their stories. The role of editors, wrong or right, they will take a certain view. It can't be censorship when SABC has taken a certain view, because it is a daily work that we do as different media, not even SABC. But why can't you ask yourself, why are these NGOs, why are they not marching when SABC and other broadcasters, they don't show good stories? Why are they not marching? If they are genuine, if they are fair about their demands. They are not doing that because they are becoming opposition within opposition as media house. That is what they do. There are many issues that I'm aware of from print media. Where is the sum of the editors? They disagree with newspaper there because certain people have their own views. The issue should not be about the SAC. The issue is let us zoom into media as a whole. And South Africans will come to a certain conclusion. I want to come to the issue at the SABC. Honorable members, if you read the newspapers, they complain about SABC getting rid of agents, which we are doing, we're not apologetic. And the reason why we are getting rid of agents is, in a marketing unit, you have expertise and skills and people who specialize in marketing. But you also have what's so-called agency to do the same thing that our own staff will perform and do the duty, because SABC is paying those employees to do the same job, which means it's double dipping within organization. We are saying we have expertise and skills within the organization so that we as SABC, the employees, will perform that duty. And what is very interesting, those agencies, they have what you call it retainer. We rather retain our own employees rather than retain a consultant. That is what we are doing at SABC. Coming to the issue also of local content. You know, when we talk about transformation, we are not talking about transforming SAP internally. Also externally.
because there is this lady that is so fashionable these days, capture. In our view, some of the big companies, they don't want to see new entrants. Example, at the SABC previously, when we talk about tenders and so on, we as directors or executives at SABC, we haven't taken decisions. And we believe those decisions, they should be taken by management in different provinces, so that people who are emerging as black business people, they should also help in doing business with SABC. That is what we are doing. And I want to emphasize that we, when we take this decision, people are not happy because they have been doing business with certain companies and big companies. In this case, we are saying these big companies, they should share the cake with the smaller companies. We are also saying, when we talk about local content is not about us having a Lesotho drama or soapies. It's to cater for all 11 languages. That is what we have been saying. And people have been saying, but you, SABC, you don't have capacity to do that. You don't have filmmakers. Very interesting. You know, there are filmmakers in South Africa. But because SABC, we have not been giving them opportunity to do business with us, they went outside the country. Some of them are coming back when we introduce 90% local content.
We are in danger of time.
Okay, Chair, I'm going to wrap the place here. So they are coming back to do business with ABC, and these are South African filmmakers. It is a good move for the SABC. I just want to remind the committee. Previously, SABC could not pay service providers, could not pay actors. Previously, SABC could not show sports on our platforms. It's a fact. Under this current management, all the projects of national interest, they are on air. And actually, sometimes I'm asking myself, why people are so upset about the SABC? When they should actually support the SABC, you can imagine running SABC and we don't get funding from government. You can just imagine. And sometimes I ask myself, why should I account to these people when they don't give us money? Why should I account you when you don't contribute? Let me come to checks. Honorable member, I'm here to be talking about TV license. TV license is like paying your executive and what? So can you charge payer money? It is misleading to say when you pay TV license, it is taxpayer's money. It's like paying your DC. When you pay your DC for your car, your license, you renew your license, what are you calling it? So let us not mislead each other here. The important issue is we as SABC, we run SABC through our resources. And the team of SABC, they work hard, black and white. And I want to emphasize, in the SABC, you have good white people who understand the way the transformation. You also have black people who know the way the transformation, but they don't know what it means. Because when you zoom into SABC also, you find that black people where they are leading, they don't transform a unit. White people where they are leading, they transform their unit. So we have decided that the SABC is not about the color. It is about the heart within the organization. But, honorable members, you know, when we talk about special projects, example, if there is an announcement, important announcement, what we do normally, we describe what we call the schedule of the SABC. If you describe the schedule of the SABC for 2 hours or 3 hours, which means you describe the financials of the SABC, because now people are advertising, you remove the adverts. And when you remove the adverts, which means there is no income for those hours that are disrupting the schedule. But for us, we are not a profit company. Member, can we?
Yeah. What is this product for?
No, cash will not go out
here. Yeah. Can you please get out and initiate me this tournament? I saw him sending to them. So please let them be in it, all of them. Can you not list your placards? But I think the members are saying if you can leave the house.
Sure, let him.
If you can wait. If you get, I said we welcome everybody, but no participation. That is participation. Please.
Let him go.
Okay. The member says
so also says to be for the meeting that everyone is allowed to come in. But they don't participate. And unfortunately, you undermine your officer. You participate deliberately. You participate deliberately. So without any mention, let me go out.
Maybe members.
Call the security, this person must go out. Call the security, this person must go.
Honorable Baraco?
Because this is true defiance, right?
No, Chair, I'll plead with the members. If you have the member, you have told him that he must actually not do that in the it's living. Let's continue. Let us not be sidetracked. You see, this thing of constantly wanting to because that this is the issues here are being deliberated and attended. We just want to subtract us from what we are focusing. Let us not fall to that trap of agent provocateurs. So for me, Chair, let us not make that an issue. Let's continue that meeting. But you must not do that while you do.
Okay, I think I explained this, even in the house. Even in the house, when people do that, we say, don't do it. But let's leave the proposition of Honorable Carl. He must not lift up that thing. And he can sit there and remain as it is a public meeting. But that's what the proposal. Can we not be subtracted really, members? Let's proceed.
Chair, we can proceed. You emphasize this point from the part of the meeting. And it's a mercy that you will never run anywhere. We knew. I know about this point that an hour ago I told you some room that the participation room of that. We will not deliberate because we wanted room to act. So please let person be removed.
Honorable Chair, I think let's agree. Let him stay, provided if he continues, then we'll be forced to take him out. I think I really like what I say.
Can you take that line, members? Please. Mr. Nzenek. Honorable Nzenek.
I'm also honorable, shut your mind.
No, I'm coming back to
you
that.
You can see that. I'm honorable.
But please, man, if you can run that so that we have an answer to.
Okay, sir. No, sir, you see, the placard or noise is not going to stop us to do what we're supposed to do. For me, I don't even focus on these people. I think, Chair, what I was alluding to, we at SABC, when it comes to issue of making sure that we cater for all political parties, we did that, and we'll do and cater for all political parties. But also we agree that we will allocate time accordingly. And some of political parties, they came and approached SABC. And all of us, we agree, including those political parties, that really we need to do justice for all political parties. I'm aware about freedom fund issues. That is what also we are transforming at the SABC, because freedom trying to get more time on the RSK. You get more time on RSK compared to other radio stations. And you are saying even RSK, they are black political parties. All those parties, they should be in that bubble. This is what you are saying, not showing whether it's white or red or whatever, but you are saying all political parties, they should be given coverage at SABC. But coverage can't be all programs of the SABC. That's where the problem is. I don't know which program you did call or someone called, because if you call a religious program, you as a politician, we say no. But if you contribute where it is current affairs shows, it is not news shows, we don't have a problem, because politicians are playing that space, but not on all these programs. That is what we are saying, to say we have programs like Parliament here, you have this portfolio committee and other portfolio committees. The same as ABC applies. Because you can't be a politician and you contribute in the religious programs. I'm just giving you an example. So we will cater for the chairman, but I want to emphasize, SABC is on track, financially sustainable. SABC, we are transforming that organization, noise or no noise. So thank you, Chair.
I know, Minister, you wanted to leave, but I think it's my duty to protect members. To protect members. And I'm just addressing the meeting, but I want you to listen so that you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, please. No, it's okay. I wanted to say it will be very bad precedent that if you will call for oversight, call members not honorable, Mr. Mtseneng. I think it was correct. I think you really, because it will continue if you do that. We really need to withdraw that so that members feel comfortable that they are honorable members. If it's still a committee meeting, let us not raise issues like that.
She has said you're not honorable.
Yes.
I said that.
Oh. Yes, you did.
Oh. I withdraw, Chair.
Members, I think we questions were responded to. And I was going to check, and because of time, there are additional questions that are not responded to. Can we get that in writing? Unless there are any issues from those questions, please.
That is not a very big thing for you to deal with that, and I also want to respond to security, which is better than I responded.
Can you start so that you just find it up? We really pressed by time.
Okay, Chief.
In fact, we should have conducted this meeting for only CBC, because we knew issues are very many.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the simple one, I'll start with the issue raised by Honorable Dr. Mendes on the issue whether the SABC is a public broadcaster or a paid broadcaster. The SABC is a public broadcaster as defined in the Broadcasting Act. So that debate, I believe, they've been closed long time ago. The Act further instructs the SABC to inform, educate, and entertain as its public mandate. And then I want to say that's why normally certain positions are not related to the remainder alone today. The SABC is independent from government. As you see, when it's convenient to pull the 1 million interview as a minister,
forgetting that the SABC is an independent institution that is directed by the board of the accounting authority. Our role as the state is being shielded. So I'm a shareholder representing the state in that effect. And then we have the issue of him not afforded an opportunity. Remember when it comes to election, the castles where they are located, the quarters, how he should be covered. And even if there was a breach of that requirement, I think that complaint should have been raised with ICASA. And ICASA has the responsibility not to monitor that this complies. I think they will be able to respond to that as they deal with the matter. But I like the constructive way in which you have been raising matters. This is the matter that we can get looking forward. That was very constructive. You like your members of the committee, which some of the members in the opposition, they seem to be understanding what's going on. Chair, your time was permitting. It was honorable to send them. It seems to have forgotten what was written in the memorandum. And I was looking with Kim and says, it seems as if the memorandum was also not shared with a honorable Sunday. This memorandum is here. And in the memorandum, it's very clear. I will give you a copy of just forgotten. This memorandum, she has shared it to my office, where she specifically indicated that she's representing those journalists. As I indicated. Chairman, you gave her an opportunity to talk. Nobody ever interjected her. And then you are here to account. And then she's the one that also said, I've got a lot of questions, and we're expecting her to ask those questions because we are here ready for her, than to rush to say she wants to inquire. Because what we are doing, we are trying to respond. Yes, sir. I will address your protection here. Thank you so much. Because we never interjected as you're speaking. So the point that I failed to raise was that one on the memorandum, because it's here, I have it. I can say it with members. She has written it, she's signed off. And she was very clear that she's representing those particular journalists, as I indicated earlier. And that shows the agenda to that extent, what is it that is being portrayed. Also, Honorable Fendame, if you understand the broadcasting act, you will see that there's no role for myself as a minister in approving the editorial policy. You wrote parliamentary questions, which I did, and I even said that ask that policy to from the SABC to hand it over to you to show that there was nothing that we are hiding. But I find it very strange when you are to come to this meeting to say that we approve the policy in secret, as if you don't know what is the provision of the act that you said. And Chairman, I'm forced under the circumstances to read the provision of the broadcasting act for the purpose of so that she understand what this act means in relation to the editorial police. The broadcasting act in chapter 4, section 6, if you read 5A, it says the board must prepare and submit to the authority not less than 3 months after the date of conversion policies that will ensure compliance with the authority's code of conduct as prescribed and with the corporation's license condition and with the objectives contained in this act, including the new editorial policy. 5B, the corporation must notify the authority in writing of any amendments to the policies referred to in paragraph A as soon as it's reasonably possible. There's no way in the act that this policy must be submitted to the Minister nor Parliament. As I said earlier that I believe the SABC in this one is compliant and I think it's in terms of the broadcasting act. So to ensure that I approve the policy is not correct. The board, after the approval of the policy, did submit the revised policy to ACASA as required by the act, the section that I've just read now. And then ACASA did not object to the revised editorial policy. I must say, Honorable Member, the editorial policy addresses the issues to news programming and local content in language initiative. So we cannot reduce the editorial policy of the SABC to only one issue of news. Why are we not advocating for the increase of the African languages in the SABC, especially on TV? I have never heard anybody saying that in this meeting. Also, why? Because English and Afrikaans is covered. What about the other languages? Because I thought if indeed you are doing over certain serious, then to come in and raise chaos that you are raising. We should be saying, coming in support, saying, let all languages
as is required by the act that they are broadcasted, everybody gets a SSA. So it is this policy that enables the SABC to implement their 90% local content. And I didn't hear the same members from the opposition bench commenting the SABC for this radical decision to make sure that everyone in terms of local content, and why are you not even making much about that? Instead, they are calls between certain SES, rightly said, the honorable person then that they've got the memorandum, I think, which they are advocating themselves, because to say that the advertisers also should boycott the SABC, we know that, we are aware that we are leading such campaigns to make sure that, because why do you want the advertisers to boycott the SABC, is because is this radical transformation that they are bringing to make sure that even the historically disadvantaged have a share in this. And then I want to also to say that the SABC board's vote on this matter has complained, and I never said that CASA said the SABC was not wrong. I specifically mentioned that it absolutely be quoted out of context. I'm saying the issues was for the provision for an absolute ban on violence, which was the editorial decision of which the SABC had in that matter. That's what I said. I didn't say that the castle said the SABC didn't air on the matter. So these are the issues that I felt I need to strongly deal with, because I realized they were not addressed. But otherwise, the rest, because of the adequacy of time, inadequacy of time, we are not able to deal with them, as you have mentioned. But this also issue of the media that I started by attacking the media. I don't have a relationship with the media. I think, I wonder on what planet the Honorable Sandrine is based on the sense that you know the portion that the mainstream media is taking, which also Honorable Dr. Van Mendelen raised into that effect. So they've taken a deliberate and strategic position to be generally hostile towards government. In fact, the attitude that whatever this government is just corrupt, there's nothing good that they can do that is right, and they do that without even establishing the facts. I'll give you a typical example. We are here to give, presenting, based on what most of the things that we are responding to, they are based on this media, so-called media report. But now we've given the facts, the details on the fact that was the journey. Look what will happen when we go out. Already in the online media, you check what's happening now. It's the reporting that then distorts the facts. The reality that was being presented in this meeting, that's the issue that I was raising. But otherwise, all our case to just call that the board of the SABC must be disbanded. I think one needs to be convinced that it is to say whether this actually can be based on what we've reported, because we have loved the honor of the member to interrogate the presentation, and we are here to provide answers to that effect.
Thank you very much. I think we are done with the answering questions from members. Is one of the questions not answered?
Not a single one of my questions has been answered. I asked Mr. Guma several questions, and the minister didn't answer my question. After, why was there no draft policy published for comment, as was the commitment? I didn't ask her to read for me from the Broadcasting Act. I'm aware of those provisions. My question was, you committed, the SABC committed to publish a draft editorial policy. There was no draft editorial policy published. Why not? And if you please, Mr. Akuma, also answer my questions. They're here to answer questions, so they're not asked.
Miss, because I want you to round up, maybe let's tackle this. And then after that, well, there are certain decisions that we need to take after this. Without the confusion, people talk and think decisions. We're going to take some decisions after all this. Mr. Akuma. Not Akuma this time, Akuma.
Yes, sir, thank you. I'm far from being a poet or an author. But, Chair, the first question was about provisions that are made for legal cases. What the minister was talking about, figure that is there, is not really saying that the SABC has put aside an amount of money in anticipation of legal cases. And the figure for 2015, because I want to talk on 2016, the port has not been tackled. It was 171 million. But I need to just emphasize that you need to understand that when you read a set of financials, what a provision means. And I will give you verbatim what it says in the standards. It says, it's a liability of uncertain timing or amount. And I'll simplify it for you. What it really means is that SABC is subjected to many court cases, many of which talk to the operations of the SABC. And we're saying that at year end, we look at the possibility of settling those court cases. And we are saying that the amount that we showed in 2015 is 171 million. Now, why am I talking about 2015 and not 16? Because that is part of a set of financials that has not been tabled. So that amount does not mean it is amount for legal fees because of disciplinary and whatever. We're saying if somebody sues the SABC for argument's sake for not broadcasting something and it claims damages of 10 million, we'd be there. And if it meets the definition of a liability, then we shall say 10 million. Somebody sues the SABC or an employee sues the SABC for argument's sake for wrongful dismissal, 5 million. We added that. So it's not saying that we are creating a basket of funds, because that's not provision in the financial statements. What you're actually asking is how much have we budgeted for legal fees. Maybe that's what you want to ask, not provisions. And I can tell you, because the corporate plan has been submitted to the SABC, I don't think it's even more than 30. I mean, to the portfolio committee, I don't think it's more than 40 million for that. And why do we say this? You cannot anticipate who is going to sue you. But for the running of the legal division, we have put an amount not in excess of 40 million. I can give you specific amounts. I don't have the figures here with me. Second other question you asked is the settlement for Mr. Matlala. I can tell you categorically that what is in the papers is false. The amount, I would be a bit coy in giving the amount, but I can tell you. And the reason is because we signed the confidentiality agreement. But I can undertake here that the committee will see that amount in next year's financial statements. But it is far less than what is there in the papers. But because it's leaked information, as I said, we are not going to bother too much with, responding to rumors in the papers. I think that's all I can comment.
Clarity, one of clarity seeking question. I just want to be very clear about what you're telling me. The 171 million is your contingency liability, so it's the funding that you set aside to dip into in your court cases. Or is that the amount that you spent? And number two, I'm sorry, you set your account to Parliament. I know Mr. Muswellen thinks he doesn't have to account to Parliament, but absolutely have to account to Parliament. How much have you paid the acting, the former CEO of the SABC? You are duty bound, you are bound by law to reveal that amount to Parliament to account. First, you don't even know why he was suspended, and then you spent millions paying off. You are absolutely duty bound to let us know why and what the amount was.
I'll still answer the first question. The 171 million, as I say, is a liability of uncertain timing and amount, or amount. What I will explain. Organizations do not create a fund to litigate. Some, if there's a business of litigation, they may do that. That's a business. What we're saying is that if there are cases that are raised against the SABC and through the court process, we test the probability of us having a commitment to pay that amount. And I've given examples. Somebody is not comes and confronted the SABC and we don't broadcast, you know, for whatever reason, and he takes that to court and claims damages of 10 million. That claim is processed through the courts. To the extent that meets the definition of a liability for accounting standards, but we are not aware of the amount because it is subject to court policies to show that, to disclose that as a provision. And that is what is showing the financial. It is not the washest to address law problems. We are saying it is the best estimate of what the SABC will be liable to pay if the case goes against us. The minister has adequately addressed that problem and say, but somebody can claim 10 million, there can be a counterclaim. We don't know. So we are saying, being prudent, the standard said it to do that. We take the best estimate of what the amount would be. So that is nothing to do with the watches that we are keeping aside. The other one of Mr. McLean, I still believe, have a confidentiality agreement. I wouldn't want to breach it. But I can tell you, it's not 18 years.
Minister?
And to add on that one, that will be disclosed in the annual report because there's a requirement for disclosure. But, sir, I'm a bit perturbed if Honorable Fandano will say I didn't answer the question on the editorial policy. You see, she sent me a parliamentary question, a vague one in particular, in February, trying to put a procedure that's not binding legislation to say when is the new draft digital policy to be completed and when will it be tabled in Parliament. I've deliberately read the law because there's no requirement in the law. If she wants to put her own procedure, that's her own duty because I've responded to that question long, long ago. I even volunteered in question and asked the SABC to provide me with the copy of the digital policy to show to her that there was nothing that we had in. And they said that the policy process has been completed and then there's no requirement that by law that this policy must be submitted to Parliament. The law says the policy must be submitted to the authority. That has been done. So I don't know what she, I didn't have that question. What the name is only one for.
We can't go beyond this point. No. Let us have all those questions that are not answered, not necessarily yours, even the members here. Let us have those questions. We'll still have another round with the CBC because you've asked questions even about the board. We're coming back. We can't be here the whole day dealing with the same issue. We have called the CASA. They have sent money to come to Parliament. We must listen to them. So this part of the meeting with the CBC, we're done with it. We'll request another meeting soon so that we put all these things to rest. Thank you very much, Minister, with your team relating to the CBC. Members, as we are going to receive a presentation from the CASA, a few issues as other people are still here. I think when we discuss and make contributions, unless there is a summary and decision, that becomes a decision of the meeting. Honorable David and Honorable Kala were saying, for now, this, we have listened to SABC, the Minister and SABC, on all the issues that we have raised, some of them. We went back to finalize that process. But it's very clear that listening to SABC, we don't need an inquiry. This is what his members were saying. Honorable Van Dam, participating in a meeting, was saying we need an inquiry. And we will take a decision on that so that there is no confusion when we get out of this meeting. Isn't it so? Yes, can we, I don't know whether, because I think you have advanced your reasons as to why there must be an inquiry. I think you have advanced your reasons as to why we can't have an inquiry because we listened to SABC now. Honorable Teddy, because we have recorded the decision now, not just the discussion. Honorable Teddy.
So I think what we're saying is that we've listened to the presentation by the SABC and the minister, and we're saying at this stage there's absolutely no reason to take a decision which says there must be an inquiry. I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
But linked to that, Chair,
it should be stated there is a legacy. This committee has got a spokesperson. And that spokesperson is the chairperson of the Kodoko committee. So it should be very, very clear. Because it becomes very annoying in most, in some instances, where people after a meeting of this mess burn out and speak on behalf of this committee, on the outcome of this committee. So it's very, very clear, we are saying the spokesperson of this committee is the chairperson. So whoever speaks, it can be at the level of a party or whatever, but it can be at the level of the committee. The committee has got a spokesperson. That must be very, very clear from now on.
Thank you, Honorable Kekan.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by saying that I concur with the Honorable City. There is no need for any inquiry, and therefore, we can do such. And also, I wanted again to agree with him about the issue of the spokesperson. You are the only chairperson. You are not continuing with any person here. So you are the one who represented the views of the committee. No one else but you. I thank you.
Honorable Fandam.
I don't need the permission of Teddy or Mr. Kekana here to communicate about what I see often in this committee.
Can
communicate,
I will. Call him honorable.
Honorable, communicate, I will. And in communication, I will make it clear that the ANC members of this committee, after last week, supporting, fully supporting the need for inquiry, have clearly got some instructions from the Lokuni House or something, and are now going back on a commitment. They are here failing on their parliamentary and their duty as parliamentarians to conduct oversight. They are instead protecting people who have failed in their duties. Let it be noted, and I will communicate this at your committee commission.
Any other member? It's very clear that the decision is that we won't get into a process of inquiry. We won't get into it. That's the decision of the meeting. Can we go to another, because I really want to be clear on this one. Time now is going to 1, and we're expected to leave here at the first 1. There is a person. Came all the way to present, but we must take a course of decision because we will not make justice. We can come up with ways of dealing with it, but it's up to the committee. Honorable Kekan?
Chair, I think there are so many issues that IFASA must answer to this need. Since we have been grilling SADC for close to 4 hours. I think they also need another 6 hours. As you see, even the amounts of practices are different, so that we want clarity and the details, because they are come to us. So I think this little 8 minutes is too small. So that maybe we can agree that let them come next week. They will deal with them. Next week to be in their time. Thank you very much. That is my proposal.
I think that the second that we don't get the presentation from ICASA, we call ICASA program permission, and then we deal with matters that they raised in their presentation. Agreed. Maybe if we can, I don't have announcements. Okay, there is a member that you got on is important. Remember Nyalunga died, and there is a memorial service today, all the assembly, all members of parliament are invited, and our guests are invited to sit in color. Thank you very much, members, for your participation, and all of us inside the house, 10 garments. Meeting is adjourned.